Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Emotional Hangs. I am Kurt Brownoler. Joe's not here. It's just me, guys. It won't be just me for the rest of the episode, but it's just me right now. Got some tough news. Joe, we wanted to record an episode this week, but unfortunately, Joe had to check himself into rehab. So Joe's in rehab right now, and we decided that we're going to air one of the original episodes of Emotional Hangs. This is the episode that started it all, that was on my podcast, Kale, and on Joe's podcast, Down with Joe DeRosa. It's a 4th of July weekend, you know, everybody's out vacationing. Why not have a throwback? This is a nice little throwback episode to see how Emotional Hangs got started. Are there some squeaky wheels in here? Yeah, there's some squeaky wheels here. But I think it really shows it's a beautiful fossil for uncovering how this podcast came to be. And the best part about this intro that I'm doing is that Joe probably won't listen to it, so he'll never know that I said he was in rehab. But it would be funny if you guys started tweeting Joe. Joe's not in rehab. Joe just is he's on tour. He's working very hard. And this week I'm going to be on vacation with my family. So we're just not in the same area, so we couldn't do an episode this week. But it would be great if everybody could tweet Joe like sincere, heartfelt concern that and just, you know, tell him that your prayers are with him, that he gets through rehab in one piece, and that you're proud of him. 'Cause at least for the first few that come out on Twitter, he'll get really nervous. And now this is from a place of love, but also I think it'd be a real treat for all of us. But yeah, so this is the original episode of Emotional Hangs. I think you'll enjoy it. I was just listening to it. You know, this was done 2 years ago, so you can hear that we're still not like super comfortable, as comfortable with each other as we are now. And you hear two men just really trying to become friends. And so, guys, enjoy it. This the very first episode of Emotional Hangs here on Emotional Hangs. Oh, and one last thing, quick plug. For me, because Joe's not here, I'm going to be at the Draft House in D.C. July 14th and 15th. So please come out. Also, wide release of Big Sick happens on July 14th as well. So go out and see the Big Sick. Thanks, guys. Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand. Let's get soft if you want to get soft with it. This is it.
This is it. Emotional Hangs.
With Joe and Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt and Joe.
Yeah, see, I put you first. And you put me first. That's the kind of podcast this is going to be.
Exactly. I only put you first because it's alphabetical.
Yeah, no, I know.
But last name B.
Yeah, I purposefully put you first.
But first names, I'm alphabetically.
Yeah, well, but no one does it by first names.
But I would have put you first, even if your last name was Zaunholder.
Thank you.
I would have still put you first.
I appreciate that, Joe.
Out of, you know, courtesy.
Out of respect, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the first. Now, this is being released on both of our podcasts.
This is a crossover podcast episode.
But it's a pilot for potentially for a new podcast that would feature you and I.
For forever.
For forever.
It's called Emotional Hangs.
Emotional Hangs.
Inspired by a very real life event.
Yeah, do you want to tell the story of what happened?
No, I think maybe Joe should. I definitely, I would say that there's a... there's a haziness in my memory about this moment. Why don't you explain how we came up with the title Emotional Hangs?
I ran into Kurt at a party, at an industry party.
An industry party. Yes. It was specifically, well, let's just be upfront. This Emotional Hangs is all about truthfulness. It was at Riot LA.
Riot LA.
It was the ending party.
It was the ending party.
I had just done this big, I just premiered Roustabout.
Yeah, and you did some kind of march around the thing with a band.
That was last year. This year we made it snow in LA.
You made it snow in LA. How did you do that?
We had a snow machine on the roof and everybody came out and it was snowing.
Well, that explains it.
I was very excited and I hadn't had time to eat dinner.
Right. You hadn't had time to eat dinner, and then you went right to the party.
Right to the party.
And had a few. A few.
Yeah.
Not a ton, a few.
Not a ton, a few.
So I ran into Kurt's party.
Reasonable amount.
I had not had a few because that night I did two Riot LA shows. The first was Josh Adam Myers' goddamn comedy jam, which is amazing. And then I had to go up to do my own show, Can I Kick It, at the Meltdown, and then I had to drive back down to do Ari Shaffir's This Is Not Happening show, which is also amazing. So I couldn't drink at all the whole night. So I finally got done at like 1 a.m. and went to the party. Still in my car, couldn't drive. Yeah. Couldn't drink because I had to drive. Ran into you, who was in a different situation.
I was in a very different situation. A lot of celebration that night.
Very happy to see you. You were in good spirits.
I was happy to see you as well. Although I did definitely do a thing where I would hug him and then reel back like I was going to punch him in the face.
Yes.
But as a fun joke.
Now, I don't know.
You're the only person, do you know, the only comedian that I would suggest that I maybe would hit because I feel like you could take it if I did hit you.
I think I could take it. I don't know if I could take it.
Who knows?
I was scared when you were doing that.
That's the thing. You got scared. So I was suggesting I might hit you.
Right. We're both tall men.
Yes.
You were acting like you were going to hit me. Little did you know I was terrified of it at the time. I don't know.
But you shrank. You shrank a little bit.
I did. I don't know if any of you listening have met Kurt in real life, but he's a big man. He's a very big man.
I'm a gentle giant.
You are a gentle giant. But my point is you are so big in stature that if you were handing me a rose but standing too close, I would still be a little afraid.
Uh-huh.
You know? So he was doing this joke thing of like faking like he was going to hit me and then I was cowering.
And then hugging him. I would hug you and then
then you'd hug me right after. And I was shrinking because I was scared and also because
I was upset.
Man.
I was a little upset that he was shrinking from me.
Yeah, and you grabbed me and you said, you know I'd never hit you, buddy. You know I'd never hit you, right? And I was like, of course, I think I know that, Kurt.
You think you know that. You're not positive.
I'm still positive.
I'm still a loose cannon.
Yeah, well, you are a bit of a loose cannon. You've got some stories.
Yeah, I got some stories.
You know, like I was like, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Who's that man next?
That's my neighbor right there, William, walking into his house. What did you think was happening?
I don't know. There was all of a sudden a man directly behind my head.
Well, there's a window there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's outside. The world is outside.
Yeah,
there.
It happens with windows sometimes.
I understand that, but usually windows and houses, you don't have someone who's inches from your face.
That's my neighbor. He's a good man.
Very nice.
So you were hugging me, almost hitting, hugging. And then saying, you know, I'd never hit you. And I said, I know that. And then you pulled me in for a really hard hug. And you rested your head on my shoulder a bit and said, I love you, buddy. We have emotional hangs. Which I filed away.
Unsure of what that means. I mean, I agree with the general sentiment. I do feel like whenever we see each other, we get down to the heart of business.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I thought you were referencing when you said that. Do you remember the night we were at Ye Rustic, which is a bar here in LA? Mm-hmm. I was in an Albertsons grocery shopping, And I got a text from you, and you said, we're at U Rustic. Come drink with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can't. I'm grocery shopping. And you antagonized me into drinking.
Yes.
Right off the bat, that's a big step for us in the friendship. Anytime somebody antagonizes me to drink, I know they really want me there. They're a little sad that I'm not coming, because yes. I do that to people.
Yeah.
If I say, come hang, and you go, no, and I go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't care that much.
And wait, and also, I did that to you recently, and
you
I
did.
Want to apologize.
Don't.
This is going to be a part. No, this is going to be a part of emotional hangs, okay? So you finish your story, and then I got to get into apologizing.
Okay. So that night, because this story isn't going where you think it's going.
All right.
So that night, I said, fine, and I went to eat Rustic because I have zero willpower. and I was also touched that my new friend, Kurt, fairly new friendship at that time, was pressuring me to come. I felt like that meant something. So I said I should stop by.
Yeah.
And I went in and hung out. And I said, I have all my groceries in the car. I can't stay for that long. And then you ridiculed me for that, which was another compliment to me. It was yet another compliment. And then at one point during that hangout, I said, Kurt, you're becoming my favorite person in L.A. And you laughed like that. And then I remember this. This is the part you're not expecting.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see you for 2 months after that. And I swear to God, there were many moments where I was like, you shouldn't have said that. He's your favorite guy in L.A. thing. You freaked him out.
No.
It was too much to say.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That
I swear to God,
that's so funny you say it. Also, that's the thing. That's what I do love about you is that you'll say something like that, and then B, you'll have a memory of the fact that you said it, and then apply it in a way that might make you anxious about the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here we are. Here, I feel great. I finally got it off my chest.
I'm so happy you did, because. Because it's honestly, like, this is, it's been, I mean, I am hardly ever, we're both hardly ever here.
Right.
And when I am here, I see you. When I'm in L.A., I always see you.
When you're in L.A., you see me. You and I both travel a lot because we're stand-ups and stuff. But, of course, when you're the anxious man,
of course.
Like I am,
yeah.
That doesn't factor in. You're just like, I haven't seen my friend in a while.
He freaked him out.
I freaked him out. He thinks I'm in love with him.
Like, but that, so then I'm happy that it really re-jumped started when I said we have emotional hangs.
It re-jump started when you said we have emotional hangs. And then later in the week when you said that's a podcast idea, when we were laughing about you saying that, I was still a little self-conscious to say, a little part of me was like, does he mean that he wants to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Or is he still freaked out about me saying he was my favorite person? And it took me a while. It took me until we went to our friend Jane's birthday party to finally go, Kurt, we should do that thing.
I love that. Oh, I love that. I'm happy we're doing it. That gets at the heart, I think, of what emotional hangs is going to be all about.
Yeah.
It's going to be two dudes.
Yes.
Just getting into it and being truthful with each other.
Yeah,
We're going to get emotional. We're going to get emotional hangs here.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope that in the future of this thing, we can take it into certain emotional type of activities and things of that nature. Today, we're gonna just kind of ease our foot into the ocean.
Yeah, we're dipping our toe in, but
right.
Still, first, I got to apologize the other day.
Oh, yeah. Why? Why?
Because we had a plan that I was going to come over and we're going to hang out at your house.
Oh, that's...
And
okay,
then
yeah.
I didn't. I went over and I hung out at Scotty's house instead. And it felt to me like I betrayed you. But there was a very good reason that it's personal it's not my personal life. My personal life's wide open here.
Right.
From someone else's personal life.
Yes.
That was important. And so I want to apologize to you for that. This is
the type
of things that happens between good dude friends on emotional hangs. We're to bring people in to apologize to each other. But we're always going to be drinking while we do it.
I'll tell you this. I was a little hurt.
Yes, I can imagine.
When you show up, because I was like, man, I haven't seen Kurt in forever. And trust me.
And then we set up a date. And then I didn't even say, hey, I'm not coming over. I just kind of didn't show up.
Well, you did the pushback thing.
I did the pushback.
I'm trying to come in a little while.
Right.
Which I get. I've done that a million times.
Yeah.
But if you think that whole night, "You're My Favorite Guy in LA" wasn't on replay in my head. I mean, you're that's that. I was like, you're like, just not going to be friends with this guy anymore.
He's fucking you over.
He's it run was, from you. I didn't mean because he's. I was like, you freaked him out to the point where he won't even come to.
He
the
won't
hang.
Even come over to hang out. I love that.
So. But no, when you said later in the night, when you go, "Listen, dude, I'm really sorry I didn't make it." In fact, it was the next day, which to me was stronger. It was stronger to me that the next day you texted me and said, "Hey, dude, I love you, man. I'm sorry I didn't make it last night. It was my friend was dealing with something and I had to be there for him." I was like, "Ah, that's a good guy. I've been there. I get it." And, yeah. I totally understood. I was like, I know what it's like when you make plans.
And then all of a sudden.
Something comes up and then you feel bad because you're breaking plans. But you think, well, maybe I can get through this and then get over there later. And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I totally got it.
I think this is maybe going to be what this is taking these little moments that we all feel in everyday life and really getting down to the bottom of them.
I love
like
that.
Really dissecting these little moments of how on a very minute level, all these, cause you know, they say there's that thing that like, you don't like you as
right.
You, Joe DeRosa as a person makes no decisions.
Right.
You make no decisions. It's just this like deeper part of your brain. That's all emotion based that has made the decisions for you. And then you kind of rationalize them and,
right.
And kind of explain them to yourself.
Right.
Like that's what it's going to be all about. Like to
sure.
Get deep for a second.
Sure. No, I feel it. I'm feeling you on that shit, man. Here's the thing too. Let's get something else out.
Yeah,
the
let's
table.
Get it on the table.
And this is a very positive thing.
Yeah.
Now I moved to LA about a year and a half ago.
We were in New York for probably 14 years together.
Yeah, yeah.
Never spoke.
Never spoke.
Once.
Did you and Kristen show Hot Tub like
many
the
times.
Week before you no, I did it once right before you left. And I was like, "Oh good, I'm finally doing that Hot Tub show." I had met you at a few shows.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we were
in there.
We were acquaintances.
Right.
But I remember the first. Now I can't, Kurt. I can't explain this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. It is what it is. I saw you at Hot Tub the first time I did it, uh-huh. And we had talked and had a few drinks three or four times. And at Hot Tub, you and I were both talking about Los Angeles, and we were both saying, "I'm never moving out there.
Yes.
No fucking way." And then. 2 months later, I got rebooked.
2 months.
Yeah, on Hot Tub. Or no, on it was Wyatt Cynic's show now, Night Train. And I went in and I said, "Marianne, where is the producer?" I go, "Where's Kurt and Kristen?" And she goes, "They moved to L.A. And I was like, no. Kristen might have.
Kurt would never.
Not.
He said he was never moving to L.A.
And she goes, "No, he moved to L.A. And I go, "Oh, my God, he told me he would never..." And I swear to God, it's inexplicable. I felt a certain hurt that you had moved.
That I would bail on you.
But I felt like we had bonded in such a strange way. You were one of the guys in New York where I was like, "He'll never move, you know?" And I was like, "We're good. We can stay here." And then you moved. And I was like, "Okay, I guess I should move now."
I think that's what it is. It's that slow eroding where of like, I remember what it was. What it was for me, the reason I moved was weirdly, we went to Chicago, Lauren and I, my wife, mm-hmm. And we were having dinner with her mom, and her mom just went, "Why?" She knows nothing about the industry. She knows nothing about comedy. She just goes, "Why don't you move to L.A.? Seems like you're not trying if you don't move to L.A.
Wow.
And then I went to go to the bathroom. I was like, "Holy shit, did Lauren's mom just make us move to L.A.?
Oh, my God.
And the very next day, I was like, "Should we move to L.A.? And Lauren was like, "Yeah, I guess we should, because my mom really shamed us about that."
And I love it.
That's what actually made it. Like, where someone who has no idea was just like, "Are you not trying?" And I was like, "I'm trying."
It's amazing how a passive discussion like that will make you move.
Well,
mine was Brendan Walsh.
Really?
Mine was Brendan Walsh, very funny comic. Check him out. Bone Zone Podcast, him and Randy.
Yeah, Litke.
Litke. I always have a hard time saying his last name. Great podcast. Check it out if you haven't heard it. But anyway, I was talking to Brendan when I was out here visiting, and I was like, "I don't know, man. Everybody says on your move and I don't want to fucking move." You know.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, you should just move out here, man. Like, there's just opportunities out here you're not experiencing yet. Who cares, man? Just, like, move, and if it doesn't work out, you move back. New York will always be there. And, like, literally in that 10-second, Pete Holmes...
It was 10 seconds.
Pete Holmes had taken me on L.A. walking tours and been like, here you go, roses. It's as good as New York. There's your record shop. There's your pot store. There's your... And I was like, eh... And in 10 seconds, Brendan Walsh with those three sentences, I was like,
it is
oh,
weird.
I should move. Yeah.
It's also, it's never a person, and this is a thing that I think I find very like weird, where it's like you never, the things where you make the decision about, it's never someone who's like the closest to you.
Right.
Because you can always get, the person who's closest to you, you can always guess at their motivation.
Right.
And you can argue against it. Yes. Where when it's a person who's not super close to you, you don't know all of the stuff that goes on with them.
Absolutely.
And you just think like, oh, I should take that at face value.
Absolutely. Well, it's like when a guy complains and goes, I've been telling my wife this for a year and she doesn't listen to
Some
me.
Some homeless man walks up to her and says, your hair should be blonde.
Right.
And she dies at the next day.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know where that example came from.
Exactly. Did that? That's... Is Lauren not truly blonde?
It was a homeless man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
She's blonde.
So
emotional hangs.
Here we are now with emotional hangs. We're having a cocktail because it is a sort of Sex in the City type thing.
It is.
More
I
like
thought,
a,
I was wondering if there was a way for you to make it less masculine what we're doing and then calling it a Sex of the City type thing. I appreciate that.
I'll even go a level deeper.
Okay.
So more of a Hot in Cleveland kind of thing, in my opinion. I feel like we're more Hot in Cleveland than Sex in the City.
I don't know what Hot in Cleveland is.
It's a wonderful sitcom with Betty White.
Oh, that's Hot in Cleveland. Yes.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes. So, by the way, Valerie Bertinelli, there was a computer at Great Adventure in New Jersey that I would always visit. It was a love computer back when computers were rare. And you would feed it a dollar, and then you would enter your name and your birth date, and it would tell you who you were supposed to marry. And I did it like six times between the ages of 10 and 14, and every single time it told me Valerie Bertinelli.
Here we are doing a Hot in Cleveland.
It's perfect.
That's pretty insane. You were like, I don't know what Hot in Cleveland is. We come together through this weird string of circumstances to do this podcast.
Yeah.
I explain to you Hot in Cleveland. I say the first name, well, second name, Valerie Bertinelli, and you go, she was supposed to be my wife.
Supposed to be my wife.
Yeah.
At age 14, I was pretty sure Valerie Bertinelli was not near 14 years old.
No,
I was like, I'm trying to marry maybe a 14-year-old.
Yeah, I think she was about 26 at that time.
Exactly, yeah.
I told Janine Garofalo once that she was the woman I was supposed to marry.
What did she say?
It was on a show. We did a show. You're good?
I'm good. You're offering me more drinks.
You don't want a little, just a little taste to carry you through the remaining 40 minutes of this podcast?
Are we in the 20-minute mark?
We're not even. It's 19 and change.
This doesn't need to be an hour. We do it until we quit.
That's true, but we haven't even got to the questionnaires. Listen, I'm not doing this attempt to you. I'm going to put this right here.
He's talking about a bottle.
He takes it. He took the bottle. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Who's your dinner with tonight, by the way? Are you allowed to say? You got to go to a dinner after this.
Nick Thune.
Oh, so it's like a friend dinner.
Yeah, it's a friend. Oh, no, yeah, it's not a professional dinner.
You know, I thought you had to meet, like, your team of agents or something.
No.
That's always tough.
Well, also, meeting a team of agents, if you're... The only way to do it is drunk.
I can only do it sober. I would have a hard time doing it drunk. Yeah.
Ooh, I can't. I can, but it's much more fun if you're drunk.
I don't have the...
Excuse me.
I don't have the... I'm not an alcoholic. I know I'm not an alcoholic. I have a cart of booze in my living room. I don't touch it until people come over.
Yeah.
Which is once a week. So I know I'm not an alky. But here's the thing. Once I was telling this before we started recording. Once I start, it's not even like I need more booze to be more drunk. My brain just goes into fun mode.
Yeah, fun mode. What are we doing? What are we getting into now?
Yeah, and I think – now, was it that way for you before you got married?
What way?
fun mode. Like, for instance, if you were not a married man with certain responsibilities, obviously, in a relationship, would it be more tempting for you two or three drinks in to go, ah, fuck it, let's just go out, man. Let's have a good time.
I wonder. I mean, the only difference is that going out would mean the possibility of sex and love.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, going out now, it's just like, oh, we're just going out. Just, it would be like more like friend hangs. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, going out when you're single would be like, we're going on a mission.
Right. It's an adventure.
It's like an adventure. Yes. So there's less of an adventure to going out. But also, no, I have no problem with just like, yeah, let's go out.
With?
Like now, as a married man, I can still be like,
No, no, of course. But I mean, like, in a specific circumstance like this.
Mm-hmm.
These are the times where we're meeting up at a weird time in the afternoon. We're doing a goofy podcast thing. We're having a few drinks. After this is when my gears really start going. And I go, like I said to you before, you go, we can't get drunk.
Yes.
You have a dinner. I have to write.
Right.
I have writing to do. But I was like, yeah, but the thing is like, what's the thing in my brain that's going to stop me from going, well, I'll find somebody else that can go out this evening.
Yeah, right.
And go have some fun. And
but
I think it's
also
because
a Thursday
I'm not
night.
Married.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think
no,
it's the
not.
Adventure, the sense of adventure.
The sense of adventure. I still think you can have a sense of adventure when you're married.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What would the adventure be for a guy like you?
For a guy like me, I mean, my wife would be involved. That's all. We would just be going out and having an adventure somewhere.
An adventure like, oh, we ended up at this weird VFW and
Go see a show. Go do anything. You know,
that's great.
Yeah.
You want to hear a great adventure story?
Yeah. Are you talking about great adventure from New Jersey or just like an adventure story?
Yeah. Valerie Bertinelli would go there every day to a machine and type in who she should marry. It would say me. Sorry to break it to you.
That would be the most upsetting. I actually want to find that machine, bring it to Valerie Bertinelli, and just be like, fucking put your information in, because I want to find out if it chooses me for you. Because if it's just choosing Valerie Bertinelli for like a bunch of kids, like that's going to bum me out so much, because it's the only thing I don't know what Valerie Bertinelli looks like. I don't know any movies or TV shows.
You know what she looks like? She's hot.
I have no idea who
she is.
She's
hot. She's a hot.
No idea.
Yeah, she's hot.
I've never seen a picture of her.
She's hot, and I'd imagine she's in her, I mean, 40. She's got to be in her 40s by now. I mean, you know, possibly late 40s, and she's still, like, she's hot. I mean, I don't mean to say it like late 40s is old, but, like, she's hot.
She's blazing hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah, she's really hot. I mean, she, you know, she was the daughter on One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time is a soap opera, right?
No. One Day at a Time was a sitcom with Schneider. And the daughter of the guy from the Mamas and the Papas
Jesus
that had
Christ.
All like the drug stories.
I have no idea.
Mackenzie would
my pop culture
Mackenzie
knowledge
Phillips,
is nothing.
Is yeah, Jesus, I'm yeah. shocked that you know this little about.
No, I mean I know about things like you know, Small Wonder. If it involves a robot or an alien from outer space. The other one, what's touched, the one where she
touched
put her
by
fingers.
An angel?
Not touched by an angel.
E.T.?
Where no, she
the two
puts
fingers,
her,
E.T.
She puts her fingers together.
E.T.
And she stops time. Out of this world.
Out of this world.
Remember that?
That's the one where the crystal was her dad.
Her dad. It was actually a phone. The crystal was a phone.
Yeah.
That
it was the shittiest effect they could think of.
Yeah, it was just like a flashing light.
Yeah, crystal. To save money for a sitcom.
Yeah. So,
man, you're really a scholar of the worst sitcoms.
I honestly think that maybe my problem is that I have terrible taste.
Yeah, you're like, I know Charles in Charge, the first family, pre-Nicole Eggert.
I was on Doug Loves Movies a few times, and when the subject was movies that Robert De Niro has been in, it wasn't even Robert De Niro, it was another guy. I failed completely. And then when I chose the topic, which was movies that Corey Feldman has been in, I won.
I could go off with Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman?
Oh, I could go off with you right now.
So, favorite Corey Feldman movie?
Lost Boys, undeniably. Or The Burbs. No, The Burbs. The Burbs
no,
is my favorite.
No.
What?
Dream a Little Dream.
Oh, fuck you.
Dream a Little Dream. When I was 14, I think it changed my life.
Fuck you.
It changed my
that's
life.
That's queef shit, man.
Yeah.
That was like,
that's right.
My best friend Jim loved Say Anything when we were that age. And I was like,
Say
oh,
Anything
get out
is
of my
an
face.
Amazing. Have you rewatched Say Anything?
Listen, I love a Say Anything, but when I was 14, if you put Say Anything next to Weird Science, it was no competition. Weird Science was taking the trophy every time.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of boobs in Weird Science.
There's no boobs.
There is. Well, no, there's not boobs. There's no underwear. Boobs.
There's an amazing underwear shot of Kelly LeBrock.
Well, no, there's also the underwear shot of there's like a painting, and then things get weird, and then all the clothes get ripped off the people in the painting.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. That's when the grandparents come.
They also shoot a sofa out of the
house
chimney.
Yes.
Which is great. Like, that's so cool. Like, you don't never in the movie now would they be like, well, we got to figure out a way to shoot a sofa out of this chimney.
Yeah, this is pre-CGI. It was like
completely.
No,
everything
was
real.
They shot a fucking sofa out of a chimney somehow.
They figured that out, shot it into a lake.
Back then it was like, well, we're going to have to build a house with a chimney big enough on it that you could shoot a sofa out of the chimney.
It makes it actually so much like you have to respect writers from the 80s so much more, because everything they wrote had to be physically made.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you watch those old like Buster Keaton silent films, and it's like a train is chasing him, and the train bridge collapses and the train falls and he swings on a rope and saves it. You're like, oh, they really did that.
Yeah.
They had a train and a bridge and they destroyed both and he almost died.
Yeah.
And he swung
amazing,
on a rope.
Right?
Yeah. It is incredible.
So anyway,
I feel like there was something we were getting to with emotions that we got way off track.
Well, we have the questionnaire that we're supposed to go to.
We're going
to
do a questionnaire.
We also have before, you mean?
Before. Was there something we didn't finish?
This might be a theme.
No, this is what it was.
What?
You said you wanted to apologize.
I already did.
No. You said for pressuring me to drink the other day.
What?
Or was I just misunderstanding?
No, you're misunderstanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you were pressuring me to drink at Jane's birthday, you kept going, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm pressuring you. And I was like, I don't care that you're pressuring me, it's fine.
No.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Wow, that's weird. We never talked about that at all. You imagine that I should apologize to you for that.
No. I thought...
Don't you?
That's why when you said, I want to make this clear or it will haunt me. That's why when you said I need to apologize, I was like, no, you don't. I thought you were talking about that.
No, I apologized already and you've forgotten.
I remember that. There was a wonderful apology. Kurt, I'm telling you, it meant the world to me. And when you moved out here, I was hurt. And in my first week out here, I saw you at Little Dom's. I was on a date and I walked in and you were inside with Kristen and Oren Brimmer. And I walked up and I said, hi, and we were talking, and I said, here he is. Here's the guy that betrayed me. No, I'm kidding.
Here's the guy that betrayed me.
But I said, you said, how you like in L.A.? And I said, I like it. And you said, it took me a year. And I remember thinking, like, okay, so if this changes, it's okay, because that guy that I respect, it took him a year. So that's another thing I'm going to throw at you.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, man. I love all this shit.
We're uncovering it. That's what I think the main thing should be. We should invite people on that... we have a lot of stuff that we need to say to them.
I've got tons.
Tons. That I just want to say I was mildly hurt. And it's not like big things. It's like, just going to say I was mildly hurt.
Who's the ultimate? If you could have one person just appear right here, right now.
Wow. That's a great. I mean, there's so many.
Pick one and pick what the grievance is.
Pick
not grievance, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Just to say I mildly didn't like this.
Because I have mine.
I mean, like, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't want to name names of anybody people know.
No, but you're not saying it in a bad way. You're naming a friend that you say, I want to clear the air about something.
Yeah. Where they don't even know that the air is dirty.
I'm going to say mine.
All right. Say yours, and then I'll think of mine.
This is a double.
Okay.
And I apologize.
Yeah.
I hosted Thanksgiving here. Uh-huh. I don't think I invited you. I apologize for that right now.
Well, you know what? That's something that you can't apologize for.
That was an oversight. That was not a slight.
Mm-mm.
That was nothing.
I wasn't even here. It doesn't matter.
Okay, good. Thank God.
There we go.
I knew you weren't here. That's why I didn't invite
you. Shut the fuck up.
I invited Jonah Ray.
Uh-huh.
He said, can I bring my brother for dinner, or is it a small thing? I said, it's a small thing, but why don't you come afterwards?
Uh-huh.
And he never responded.
Never responded.
And I...
Because you took his brother and you shoved him in the mud.
Well, he wrote shoved that his brother the day in the of.
Day of.
Thanksgiving Day, after I'd invited him two times, he wrote the day of, can I bring my brother, by the way?
Well, see, that's the reason he didn't respond. He was worried. He was worried. He's like, I got this brother.
I know, but
thing
I was a little hurt that he never showed up.
Yeah.
No, like, sorry we didn't make it. Nothing.
Maybe we could also call this pussies being hurt.
Hey, fuck you. Don't fucking turn on me.
All right. No, I'm not turning on
no,
you.
No, is that not bad?
I'm going to be now.
I'm saying it's not a big thing.
I'm going to be vulnerable now as okay. well. Since you mentioned Joan, I'll mention Kumail. This was months ago.
All right.
Emily asked us if we wanted to go dancing at this like club, and I was like, I haven't gone dancing since I was like a 23-year-old man. And I was like, yeah, sure, we'll go to this place that seems like a divey bar that has a DJ.
Oh, I love
and
it.
We'll go dancing.
Sure.
And they're like, meet us at 9. And for some reason, for me, like, I go to bed now. At like, if it's not like a like if I'm not like, we're going out late.
Right.
Like, I'm in bed by like 11 p.m. an old man.
Sure.
So it's like, meeting at 9 p.m., that's crazy. Okay. So we go. We're there. We're there for like an hour and a half to 2 hours by ourselves, just waiting for them to show up. When they show up with a bunch of people that they just been out to dinner with that they didn't tell us about. And yeah. I'm just fucking pissed. We haven't eaten dinner. Lauren's drunk. I'm drunk because we haven't eaten any food. We're just been sitting there waiting.
Right.
And then I was just like, I was pissy. I was a little pissy ant to everybody that night, and then like left early. Like when they walked in, I was mean about it, and I feel like that put a split in our friendship.
Shit. Well, you heard it here first. Kumail and Jonah, we're calling you out to come on this podcast.
These people are such good friends of ours.
Joe, they are. They're all good friends. I love all these people dearly.
Is this what this podcast is going to be? Just airing minor grievances. You were a little late to meet up with us, and I'm still mad about
don't
it.
Don't backpedal over it. You were hurt, and you can own that hurt, and it's okay. It's okay.
Here's my question. Is this podcast the same as like a men's group where they go in the woods and beat on drums and say that they have feelings?
Yes, yes. Yes. The finale of this podcast will be us running into the ocean in February together. Some kind of men's club thing.
Naked.
I would like to get a cigarette.
Okay.
Can you cover us while I put the mic down, or do I need to pause this?
Can I cover you? Yeah, yeah. I can cover you.
Yeah, just cover us. Yeah, I don't like the pause.
Wait, so you're going to bring a cigarette in here and you're going to smoke it in this room?
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, because you live here by yourself. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Do whatever the fuck I want in this
place.
That's
great.
I don't give a
shit.
Look
at that. You don't care at all. Go ahead. Get out of here. I'm gonna talk about... So go ahead. Go get your cigarette. So Joe, like, you know Joe DeRosa. You listen to the podcast. What I don't think you'd expect from Joe is that he has impeccable interior design taste to the point that I am confused about his sexuality. I'm just kidding about that, but I am. He's got paintings that are like abstract, that are like big, like he paid money for them. He's got books propped up, but also it's a comic book, but it's still like propped up. There's a weird, like he has a weird combination of like children's toys and high art just mixed around the entire apartment. And but also like it's very clear that he's into comedy. There's a Woody Allen poster. There's a Hellraiser, the signed Hellraiser. Is that a signed Hellraiser poster?
That is a signed Hellraiser print. I went to a horror con in New Jersey, and the cast of the original Hellraiser was there. Have you ever seen Hellraiser?
No. Pinface.
Pinhead. Christ almighty, Pinface. That was worse when you didn't know what I was talking about with the sitcoms. Hellraiser, the entire cast was there. Not the entire cast, but most of the cast from the original film was there. And Doug Bradley, who played Pinhead, was there. And he signed my Hellraiser poster.
He played the original.
He plays Pinhead in all of them except the very last one, which was a straight-to-video
release. Here's my question about that guy. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, so has he ever been in anything other than being Pinhead?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He has.
Yeah, yeah, he's been in other stuff.
Oh, he has, okay.
Yeah, and he's a really good actor. Like, he's strangely different when he's not. It's weird. Like, when you see Pinhead, it's like Freddy Krueger. You're like, you can't imagine that there's a person inside of there. Like, you're like, this is a demon that they summoned from somewhere or whatever. But so it's weird seeing him in other stuff, you know. And other times I've seen him in things and I didn't realize it was him. I know what he looks like, but, like, it's so weird seeing him out of that role that, like, I don't recognize him.
Yeah.
But I was drinking next to him in a bar one night. At a different horror con, I was performing actually it was the same horror con at the same hotel, but it was years before, and I was performing. They used to have a comedy club there in the Hilton in South Jersey, and I was at the bar after my show, and I looked literally next to me, and he was standing there, and I was like, oh my God.
And you recognized him from just being Pinhead?
Yeah, I knew who he was, and whoa. I turned to him and I go, you're Doug Bradley, right? And he goes, yes. And I go, I got to tell you, I was drunk, and I go, I got to tell you, Hellraiser 2 is the greatest horror movie of all time. And he goes, mate, you're wrong. You're wrong. And I go,
really?
No, I'm not. I go, it's the best horror movie of all time. And he goes, you're wrong. Best horror movie of all time, Bride of Frankenstein. Ask Robert Englund. He'll agree with me. And I yelled, shut up and take the compliment, Bradley. I yelled that in his face, and he laughed really hard and sipped his beer, and we cheers, and that was it. I was like, that's the best interaction. And then years later, I met him to get that signed, and I tried to tell him that story.
And he was not interested.
He didn't seem to give a shit.
And he's like, okay. So does this guy, like, it's Robert Englund.
It's Freddie.
Oh, it was just Freddy.
Doug Bradley is Pinhead. Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger.
Again, my
except lack. For one movie. They're the character for all the movies except one.
Okay, so it's weird that he referenced another movie's main lead bad guy.
No, he said Bride of Frankenstein is the best horror movie.
But ask Robert Englund,
and ask Robert Englund, he'll agree with me. Robert Englund is Freddy.
That's like literally like saying like. If you ask Mark Hamill what's the best sci-fi movie, and he says, like, blah, 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 ask Leonard Nimoy. He agrees with me.
I would give a shit.
I guess so.
That's like, well, you're not a big horror guy.
No, I'm not.
I'm a big horror guy.
So Robert Englund and this guy, biggest guys.
That meant a lot to me when he said that, and I was like, I need to see Bride of Frankenstein because I hadn't seen it. I had seen the original. I'd never seen Bride of Frankenstein.
Every time you say Bride of Frankenstein, I just think of the Mel Brooks movie,
Young Frankenstein.
Which would be great. Bride of Frankenstein scary.
Is truly, I wouldn't say it's scary. It is truly a tremendous film.
Oh, okay.
It is so ahead of its time. It's crazy. Bride of Frankenstein opens with a depiction, a fictionalized depiction of Mary Shelley, who wrote the novel Frankenstein, talking about writing the novel Frankenstein. And then it goes into her fantasy about Bride of Frankenstein. And this is a movie from 1940, whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. There are homosexual characters in the movie. Uh-huh. It's so incredibly innovative, particularly for its time. It really is the Citizen Kane of horror movies. It's not my favorite horror movie, only because it's not the one I want to put on all the time.
Yeah.
But it is truly... He's right. Like, he wasn't wrong in saying that. Let's put it that way. So, you know, in your terms, I would say, like, you like punk and hardcore music.
Yeah.
You know, if you went up to, you know, fucking, you know, the guy from J Church or whatever and said...
J Church? Deep fucking cut.
Yeah, I'm trying to get deep cuts.
Do you have a J Church album
here? I've got several J Church albums.
Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. That is a deep cut if I ever heard one.
There you go.
Holy shit. You don't have the one. Oh, here it is. This is the one I had.
Which one?
Nope. Not. Oh, wow. You have every J Church record.
I don't have every, but I have many of them.
I only had one J Church record. Here it is. Prophylaxis.
Great record.
This is a great one. Foreign Films.
Amazing.
I almost want to stop the podcast and just listen to this J Church record.
Well, listen, as soon as we're done, which is in 20 minutes, we can put the J Church record
Why does it have to be an hour? I'm so confused. We have to get into this fucking... questionnaire.
That's the last 15 minutes, I think.
All right. Well, yeah, get in. I think we'd stretch it in 20.
But If you went up to the, okay, Jawbreaker is a less deep cut.
Less deep cut,
but still pretty
by
deep.
Far.
But if you went up
no,
to Blake.
Jay Church is like, Jay Church is Del Taco to Jawbreaker's McDonald's.
I'm a little tipsy because I thought the light on the mic was an ash that I spilled onto
That's
it.
That's great.
And I tried to rub it off and it's
I mean,
not.
This is what this whole thing is about.
It's just a light on the microphone yeah. that happens to look like an ash.
And now you're just showing me taking anyway. Your mouth away from it.
But if you went up to like Blake Schwarzenbach from Jawbreaker and you said, hey man, dear
why'd you keep dating my ex-girlfriend? That's what I would
he
say to him.
He dated your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
she
an
broke
honor.
Up with him.
That is an honor.
That is an honor. He came to Hot Tub and then hung out afterwards, and I just couldn't like even chat with him because I was like, "You're a Jawbreaker."
Did he steal your girlfriend? Or did
no,
he
no,
just,
no, no,
he
no, no. We had been broken up for years at
so
that point.
So if you went up to that guy and mm-hmm. you said, "Hey, man, Dear You is the best punk album of all time,"
it's not. The first Jawbreaker record's the best punk album.
No. The best
Boat Dreams
that's
from
not the first one. That's 24-Hour Revenge Therapy. Yes. That's the third
Jawbreaker.
That's
the third one?
Album.
That
the
one's
first
a great
one
album.
Is the first one is Unfun.
It's not that great.
The second one is Bivouac.
Oh, right.
Both of those have their moments. 24-Hour Revenge Therapy is their masterpiece.
Yes.
So if you went up to him and you said, that's the best punk album ever, and he said, you're wrong.
Your ex-girlfriend's vagina is the best punk album ever.
I'm hell-bent on finishing this analogy. If he said you're wrong, it's the first Bad Brains album, and Greg Graffin from Bad Religion agrees with me.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, okay, maybe I should think about that.
I love that you broke it down so that I could understand your Robert Englund story.
Well, I give a shit.
I know you do.
I give
and that
a
is
shit.
That's a deep level of giving a shit.
Well, that's what this is about. This
yeah,
is
it's about
giving
a
shit.
It's about being cool with having feelings. That's what emotional hangs is all about.
Are you an emotional guy?
Me?
Yeah.
I would say I recognize my emotions, but I don't talk about them all the time. But also, I'm not like a guy who I think like represses shit and is like rah, like lashes out because of it.
Sure. Well, let me ask you a few emotional questions here.
Oh my God! So you're going to the so this is just explain what the questionnaire is.
This is called I did was Google emotions questionnaire. This was the first hit.
I'm
and
into it.
And it worked. It.
So you're interviewing me for this one. I'll interview you for the intimacy one.
Here are your three choices
okay.
for answers. Not true, sometimes true.
Bullshit.
True.
I'm not no. All of them are essay questions.
Okay. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Question number one.
Right.
I am often confused or puzzled about what I am feeling. That's a really good question. But.
No, I would say I'm not confused by what I'm feeling. I might just be pissed off at how I'm feeling, but I know how I'm feeling.
So you never have a moment where you go, God, I feel really worked up about this right now. Am I overreacting? Am I, you know?
No, the question I would say is I get in a bad mood and I don't know why. And it usually tends to be just an anger at existence. Do you know what I mean?
Existence?
Like that
or
where
the existence of everybody else.
Just existence in general, that okay. It's kind of like, it's not a lot of highs. It's mostly mids and a bunch of lows.
Right.
And every once in a while a high.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. I used to love that Dennis Leary thing where he would say, like, you know, life is fucking miserable. Happiness comes in small, short spurts. It's a cigarette. It's an orgasm. That's
yeah.
fucking it.
That's great.
You know? Okay.
And then he became a monster.
I love Dennis Leary. You not a fan?
Isn't he a monster right now?
No, I don't think so.
You know what?
He did
I
that
say
nice
things.
Show about the firemen.
Yeah,
rescue me and.
You know what? Maybe I'm confusing him with
Dennis Miller.
Yeah,
you're thinking Dennis Miller because he's like
he's a monster,
right wing Republican, hardcore guy.
Dennis Leary is fine.
I'm still. Here's the thing, though.
You're still a Dennis Miller fan?
I don't subscribe to his politics. I'm still a fan of the guy because 8 specials brought me such utter fucking joy that I'm like, I know if I hung out with him and we didn't talk about politics,
he'd be all right.
I'd be crying laughing because he would be like, have you seen the fucking new big old paper? if you can drink 86 ounces, time to do a few laps on the donkey poncho. You know, he'd like, he'd be saying shit like that. I'd be laughing.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with his politics. Okay. All right. Ready? Number two. I find it difficult to explain to a friend how I feel. Well, we know that's not true.
Not
we
true.
Did that tonight.
Easy.
We
get
did
into
tonight
it.
Tonight with each other and people that weren't even here. That,
yeah, strangers. A lot of strangers.
Other people don't know how I am feeling.
No, I let them know all the time.
Do they need to know?
No.
Okay.
They don't not need to know.
I'm not sure what the correct answer is to that one.
Yeah.
When I am scared or nervous, I feel something in my tummy. That's a real question.
That's not a real question.
That's a real
is
question.
Is this like made by an organization that is somehow responsible for things?
My niece drew these up just before the podcast.
I feel a feeling in my tummy.
That's what
No, I feel if I get nervous or anything like that, A, I'll sweat out my forehead and I'll get tension in my back.
Okay.
Yeah, I know exactly.
How much
those.
Will you sweat out the forehead?
A lot. So
really?
Much it will be uncomfortable for people watching.
I'd love
me.
To have a tell like that. That's a great poker tell.
Why would you love to have a tell like that?
Because
nobody loves to have a tell.
My anxiety manifests itself in several different ways, so I'm never quite sure what's happening. Sometimes I need a cigarette. Sometimes I want to have a drink. Sometimes I want to eat something. Sometimes I have a stomach ache. I wish there was one thing where I could go, oh, I'm anxious. This is happening.
Oh, it's not anxious. That's nervousness. Yeah. Anxiousness is totally different.
Well, nervous. You know what I mean. Is it important to know how my friends are feeling?
Wow. Yes, it's important to know that. Because if they were feeling bad and I didn't know, I would be upset.
That's the only correct answer.
Yeah.
I would say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I am angry.
Wait. Time out. Every time I answer, you're judging whether it's correct or not?
No, I'm just.
Like you are.
The next question is, are you worried if your friends are judging your answers to things? No, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. I think that's the only correct answer to that question. I'm just responding. Merely responding.
Shut the fuck up and ask the goddamn emotional question.
Here it is. That's the three drinks fall off the cliff. It gets angry. Everyone ends angrily.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Answer the question.
You never liked me. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
When I am angry or upset, I try to understand why.
When I am angry or upset, I try and... Yes, totally.
Okay. Why do you do that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like just walking around being mad about shit and it makes you fucking miserable.
So you think it'd make you a better person to understand where that's coming from?
No, I don't think it'd make me a better person. It just would make me feel better.
Sure.
To understand.
Sure. Well, because the reason I ask is because there's a lot of people out there that go, I'm angry... And yeah, fuck you. That's how I feel right now.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's also like, I think also those people don't know that it feels so much better to not be angry.
I agree.
Like
I
was just surfing. Yesterday I was surfing and I fucking hate aggro surfer guys. And so right now I'm wearing this wetsuit when I surf that I got for free from Roustabout.
Uh-huh.
So it's a tuxedo wetsuit. So it looks like a tuxedo.
Okay.
So for surfers... This is a gross violation of what everyone wears. Everyone wears a black, just nothing adorned on it, just black.
But why is it a violation? Because it's ironic or something?
Because it calls attention to you.
Okay.
And if there's a, like, it's, I almost went and bought spray paint to spray paint. I have an awesome tuxedo wetsuit. I almost destroyed it just so I could surf without people looking at me.
Sure.
Because you want to kind of surf anonymously.
Sure.
And this was just, dude, just fucking angry old man on a fucking shortboard at Malibu. And just goes, hey, looks like you're a little too dressed up for the occasion.
Oh, what?
And he wasn't even trying to be like, it wasn't funny. It was more like aggressive. And then another dude who noticed that I was getting shit for it just went, that's awesome. I think your fucking wetsuit's awesome. And I was like, thank you, other surfer bro.
Right.
Fuck you, surfer bro.
Yeah, you're not my bro. You're my bro.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know why I start talking about that.
Well, because things affect us sometimes, how other people feel.
100%. I feel emotional about surfing all the time.
The other day, I got in the car with you. The first thing I said, I go, look, dude, I got my tattoo finished. Yes. That stemmed directly from your lovely wife saying to me, oh, no, that tattoo's not okay. Now, I'm not, I didn't get it changed because of that, but she was one of the people that I felt like I have to show her and you that, yeah, I realize it wasn't done and I got it done now.
It's totally done now. And it looks great. I love it. I love what you've done with it.
I love it. I, yeah, love what we've
done.
This
is why I think I said we have emotional hangs. I feel like we're both emotional. All right, get back into the
No, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
No, get the questionnaire going.
Finish what you were saying.
We have to do this.
It's your turn to do the questionnaire.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I already did a few because we have about 10 minutes left.
All right. San Jose couples counseling. This is where you found this next one.
All right. Well, again, I just Googled intimacy questionnaire, okay, and then that's what popped up. Hold on. I need to just,
all right, you ready?
Top off my thing here. Hold on. One
this second. Is an intimacy questionnaire for Joe DeRosa.
Yep.
Right? And these are all essay questions, other than, except for the fact that 1, 2, and 3 are sometimes, often, and never, or I don't know.
Okay.
Number one, you ready?
Yes.
Go sit in your chair.
I can't. The cord won't reach that far.
Oh, it won't. Okay. I would like if my partner and I. So when I say my partner, I'm referring to me for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think we should apply these to our friendship.
To our friendship.
Yeah.
Just to make it as emotional as possible. I would like it if my partner and I spent more time talking about how we feel. I think we're doing a lot of that.
We are. I would like that, and we're doing it. I'm enjoying it.
Your face was so genuine right there.
We're doing it.
Very
I'm
happy.
Enjoying it thoroughly.
All right. Number two. I often want to say something, but do not because I am afraid how my partner will react.
I would say no.
Okay.
I would say no. I think I've said everything very honestly to you.
Today now, you have, but
today.
You hadn't in the past.
Well, in the past, I said things that I regretted saying, uh-huh, and then I was afraid to tell you that I regretted saying them. But from here on out, it's all on the
table.
It's
all honesty.
It's all on the table.
That's what I do enjoy about certain male friendships, and they're few and far between,
yes,
is the ability to say anything and not worry about, like, the other person being like, that guy's a jerk.
Right,
you know,
right,
you can just say it,
right,
and then you actually are like, that's okay. He's,
yes,
going to be, he's going to take it,
yes,
and he's going to know that this is because we have an agreement, that this is the way we fucking operate with each
I
other.
I agree.
And
I
that's
agree.
The coolest thing that I think about male friendships. Honestly, that is different from other types of friendships.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
buddy friendships where you can just be like, I'm going to give this to you fucking straight. I don't care if it hurts your feelings a little bit because you're going to know that it's coming from a place of respect.
Yeah, I remember my friend Scott, who's one of my oldest friends. I mean, I consider him – he is my oldest friend. I consider him family at this point because I've literally known him since I was one. He said to me once, we got into an argument about something. Oh, I said – the first time I ever bought a flat screen TV. And I called him and I go, I bought my first flat screen. I'm very excited. It was $1,500.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, great. Congrats, dude. Did you get the LCD? And I was like, no, I got a plasma. He goes, all right, 1080p? And I go, no, 780. And he goes, you're fucking killing me here, dude. What are you doing? And I got really mad at him. And I was
really?
Like, fuck you, man. This was a big fucking investment for me, dude. Just fucking be. And he literally goes, fuck you. If I don't agree with you, I'm going to tell you I don't agree with you. I don't have to fucking sugarcoat it. What the? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yeah, oh, sorry. Oh, I just kicked your dog.
No,
I'm
you didn't really kick him.
Sorry.
You didn't really kick him. You just moved your foot and it frightened him.
Okay.
You frightened him.
I love that.
You scared him.
All right,
go
number
ahead.
Three, ready?
Yeah.
I feel comfortable with my partner most of the time. This is who is in a relationship with someone who's like, not really?
Well,
never. I don't feel comfortable with my partner.
I think that's the point of this.
Yeah,
you're in trouble.
You're in a bad place.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable around you most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the it's so like wishy-washy of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, we've already established that I had a period of self-doubt because of things I said to you. But I mean, yeah, no, I feel pretty comfortable around you.
All right.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable
like
around you.
Like you know what? I do feel comfortable around you. Because if you said to me, Joe, let's go do mushrooms on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I'm cool enough with Kurt that I could do that.
Yeah, right?
That's
I feel
a
like
real
that's
barometer
true.
For me.
Yeah, like, I think that's 100%
yeah,
true. Because it's
yeah.
a very vulnerable position you're placing yourself in.
Exactly.
All right. That's the next thing. I can feel vulnerable with my partner.
I can.
All right.
Thank you.
My partner often seems distant.
No, only when you're away, I guess. I don't know.
When I don't see my partner for 2 months, sometimes he feels distant. And the
sometimes,
last one.
You know, you want to be able to reach somebody, but you can't, but that's
and he
not
doesn't show up. He doesn't show up when you invite him over.
Last one.
Ready? Yeah. I feel I know and understand who my partner is.
100%.
100%.
100%.
This is the best questionnaire.
That is. And I know exactly who you are, which is why I felt sad when you moved to LA after we talked about when I didn't know you. Because I was like, I get that guy.
Yeah.
And I've said this to you several times since I've been here. Why were we not hanging out in New York?
Why were we not hanging out in New York? What were we doing?
I think we had perceptions of each other that were false.
I think also we just weren't ever in the same groups. Like, we never were like just happened to be at the same place at the same time and ignored each other or something. Right. Do you know what I mean? We're never at a party where it was just like, huh, friend? No, oh no, right. We're not friends. It was just like our worlds never crossed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I got to know you out here and found out that you were a guy that liked to have a crazy time in New York and whatever. I remember saying to you, like, Kurt, I never would have pegged you for it. I just thought you were like, I thought, you know, because it was a fault. It was my fault. It was a false perception because you were so on the alt side of things that I just couldn't imagine that this guy would
get along with you.
Yeah. I just, you know, and maybe vice versa, but you know, you're the greatest and,
Emotional hangs. Wait, we have to hug it out. Every episode ends with a hug.
Ends with a hug. There we go.
That's emotional hangs, guys. Feral Audio.